There we are, Dan.
Dude.
Back.
That was the original intro there.
I know.
Taking us way back. Way back in the time machine.
I just can't stop.
Good.
I can't do anything else, you know?
Don't stop. Get it.
I try and do different stuff, but it just ends up feeling...
Is it Halloween?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we never got to,
Halloween was fun.
Yeah, I never got to hear about how Halloween went for you.
I was Borat.
Yeah.
Oh, you saw my outfit.
I saw your outfit on the space. I saw your updated MySpace.
It was pretty funny. People in England don't dress up for Halloween. I didn't really find that out until Halloween.
It's because they dress up for every other goddamn party they go to. Everything's a fancy dress party out here.
But it was just me. You know how like you have those dreams when you're a kid
about being naked. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. You show up to school and you're the only one who's naked.
Yeah,
I was the only one dressed up for Halloween.
Where did you end up going?
To work
as Borat.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Oh man, not even the secretary. Was dressed up with like devil's horns or anything?
Looks like someone's having a case of the Mondays. Well, some people showed up with like bags of crap that they put on like after work or whatever.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. Because they keep their serious face on during the working
hours. No, I mean, they would put it on. They've like, once they found out that I had dressed up, they're like, okay.
Oh, let's humor the poor guy.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, well, that's what I understand.
I got some Easy Star All Stars.
Motto is on drum lines, 39 degrees.
if my ear holes aren't deceiving me, that was Toots of Toots and the Mai Tais fame singing that one.
We should check it out.
That definitely sounded like Toots to me. I mean, in fact, I'm 99.9% sure on that one.
Let me look. That's the Easy Star All Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And that was featuring, who was that? That was, oh, I don't have this one. Fuck. Renica's got it. Let me look on her computer. What's the, who sings the Radiohead tune? What's it called? Let Down. Yeah, is that featuring somebody special? Of course somebody's special.
Definitely someone special. There's no, do you know Toots very well?
I think I have two albums, but
yeah, he was the creator of Pressure Drop and so many a good song.
But his music isn't quite as like standard. It's a little more bluesy, isn't it? I told you.
Audience probably didn't hear that, but Ren just piped in. It was Toots.
Nice.
Yes.
That was good. Yeah.
Yeah. So. That was wicked. Yeah. His stuff tends to be a little bluesy, and occasionally it heads on towards the gospel side.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah. That's the only way I can ever really appreciate gospel music is when it's done via the reggae route.
Well, I love that they did the whole OK Computer album.
Really?
Yeah, after the whole album.
Okay, yeah, and you were telling me that before they did the whole Dark Side of the Moon, right?
Yeah, Dub Side of the Moon.
Yeah, baby.
That's great.
You got to get me that.
It's a winter combination. You take stony music with stony performers,
mm-hmm.
and you get
stoned.
A very sober experience.
Yeah. It's completely cerebral.
It's pretty. I get kind of anxious when I listen to it, and I want to like go out and
eat a pizza.
I want to like clean the house and organize shit.
Man, that's terrific. That's just terrific.
Yeah, it's pretty good,
dude.
So I got some funny stuff. You want to hear something funny?
Oh yes,
I'm sure you do.
I'm always up for a laugh.
Here's some kids from Cambridge, and they like. T, motherfucker, T. Let's check it. What is it? Illegal Immigrants is their name.
That's my style.
Once upon a time there was a Narnia rap, and it caused quite a stir on the internet. From New York in the east, it went west, then doubled back, and before you could say snap, there was a battle of rap. What do you know? This new sensation travelled across the sea to England, where we love to drink motherfucking tea. Tea, motherfucker, fucker, tea, motherfucker. We live in Cambridge.
That's a city.
With the university. English films are often gritty, but real life is not too shitty.
We are from England, don't you know? The home of movies that are great. We Brits make films like The Ghost Train, while you Yanks make snakes on a plane.
Plane, motherfucker, fucker, plane, motherfucker. We're not allowed to carry guns. As a result, no one gets killed. We can drink beer at 18. We love to drink those mothers chilled.
But if you come over to England, then I'm sure that you will see that even beer can't compare to some motherfucking tea.
Tea, motherfucker, fucker, tea, motherfucker. What is so special about England? Do I hear you rightly ask us? I reply, we love to fight, we love to kick foreigners' asses.
You want proof? That's not a problem. You see, all you have to do is go and watch a football match and ask anyone parlez-vous.
Before you know it, you'll be lying on a stretcher for a bed. We lads should really just grow up, this ain't a path we want to tread.
On Angleterre, we have a queen, in fact, to hold our monarchy. They use up millions of pounds which could have gone to charity.
Charity, motherfucker, fucker, tea, motherfucker. Now just in case there is a chance that you might need some more convincing, please let me remind you that we Brits can act and dance and sing.
You've heard of Orlando Bloom, he's the exception to the rule. Everyone else from our small nation is just motherfucking cool.
We have Ken Loach and Charlie Chaplin, Alfred Hitchcock, Ridley Scott, Stanley Kubrick, Danny Boyle, tell me if I need to stop.
Terry Jones and Graham Chapman, Eric Idle and John Cleese. Add in Michael Palin and they're not a bunch to sneeze at.
Maybe you've seen The Office or perhaps Shaun of the Dead. Oh, there's nothing that can stop our son like Clark Kent and his lead.
Sure, we don't have so much money or as many bombs or guns, but what we lack in armaments we make up for with hot cross buns.
After all that we have said, we hope that you can finally see the only thing better than England is our motherfucking tea.
All you other motherfuckers with your Narnia raps, have been rapping about a kingdom that ain't even on your Google Maps.
Did you not know C.S. Lewis was born and bred in the UK? Maybe next time do your research, don't just fall back on AA.
Milne Pooh, motherfucker, Winnie the Pooh, motherfucker, Winnie the Pooh, motherfucker, Winnie the, Winnie the, Winnie the, Winnie the, Winnie the. Cupcakes are for pussies. When it comes to tea time snacks, we all dunk scones into our teas. All other condiments are whack.
You think you're cool because your body's a lot of Scarlett T. Johansson.
We could as well, but we prefer to look like Sir Richard C. Branson.
On an English lazy Sunday, we hate golf and hoops and bowling. What we really love to do is read some good old J.K. Rowling.
Don't you know she wrote Harry Potter and His Life of Wizardry?
At Hogwarts, they put spells on frogs and drink their motherfucking tea.
Tea, motherfucker, fucker, tea, motherfucker, tea.
I like how they rhymed rap with internet. That was my favorite rhyme. There were so, like, I felt like there were so many stretch marks in that
internet?
Song.
Internet?
Yeah. Where'd you find that? Who was that?
There was this video that were on MySpace was getting, like, an exorbitant amount of plays. So I went and checked it out.
There's moving pictures associated with that audio?
The video is even better. Yeah, this is just a funny, track. Yeah, the video is even better.
They're doing a real... So
look up the illegal immigrants.
They're playing a real justice to, I don't know, just sort of bringing out how ridiculous the concept of a truly British gangster is, you know? Like, oh, brilliant.
Yeah, dude. Brits do like their tea.
Yeah, don't come between them and their tea bags.
So I got the other two tracks.
I can't chew on the mic.
That's so rude. So uncalled for.
Sorry, guys. So I got those other two tracks, but they're all labeled whack. What was the first one?
The first one you were downloading was Comaneci, which I know that you make a sour face like you just sucked on a lemon when you hear it.
Yeah, should we try it?
Sure, I want to see that face again.
Are you guys ready to rock? Here, this might hurt a lot.
Yeah, this might hurt a lot.
Might hurt.
Brace yourself.
Serious guitar work there.
Yeah. There. Oh, sorry. That's my computer. I can't get it. I have to play them like two. Anyway.
Where are they? They're from Hackney.
They're
slash
from Hackney
Hollywood.
Dalston.
Slash Hollywood.
I don't know who in there is from Hollywood. I saw them play. They opened for Trencher, this extreme death metal band down at the Old Blue Lass, not far from your house. And Comaneci is a two piece. The guitarist is this tall, lanky, pasty British guy who looks like Cousin It, you know, hair down to his butt. And the It's all about the singer. This adorable little Japanese girl plays drums and fucking screams her lungs out. It is a good show. I swear. Watching them play, it's like they spit this audio shrapnel at you like Vietnam or something. It's incredible. Incredible. The power is nuts.
Yeah, I liked it better with I liked it better with headphones on than through my dinky little iPod.
You got to have the bass.
Computer.
The bass. The guitarist.
The computer
guitar
speakers
guy.
Weren't cutting it.
No, no. But the guitarist, he does great work. Mm-hmm. I mean, he fills out the sound so well with what he does. Yeah. And not only that, but they're really photogenic.
Oh, yeah.
They're gorgeous. They're in like fashion mags and bullshit.
That sounds totally hot.
These kids, you know, they know how to work the media. Hmm. These kids.
Webernet.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand it. How everyone's getting all their pictures up there and they're putting their whole lives up on the internet.
I know. It's incredible. Next thing you know, we're gonna be seeing, well, I don't want to get into the
we're going that direction, yeah. Dan. We are. Did you hear when people say that? Yeah, well, we're going that direction. And it scares me.
Oh, don't go there, girlfriend.
You know.
Yeah.
One of these days you're going to have an MP3 player that connects to the internet. I mean, believe you me, we are headed that direction.
Oh, you know what, Mitch? It's all too true. Microsoft, you were telling me earlier, actually, right?
Segue.
You were telling me that Microsoft was coming out with their big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Zuni. What is it? Zune?
That's really a feisty name. That's a name the kids will love.
Their whole campaign is Welcome to the Social.
What? Jesus.
What is that? That's like an antiquated term, the social.
Well, they give it an onomatopoeia and then they wrap it in a postmodern, you know, catchphrase. And it's like the kids can't get enough of it. We're going to be, you know, sucking on it like some sort of delicious sour sugar candy.
I think it's going to bomb.
Well, if it has Windows Mobile on it,
it's not like they made it any cheaper than the iPod.
Really?
You know what I mean? And the iPod actually just dropped their price like $100 per model, you know?
Jesus. Apple did. Did they?
Yeah. You can get the full on.
Excuse me, where's my credit card?
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean. Not to be promoting any product on this show, but I just think, I don't know. It's got this huge color screen, which is pretty cool if you're going to actually watch videos. But who watches
but
videos
who actually
on
does?
The thing?
Yeah, why know? Pay for that? But I'm glad they're doing it because those of us that, you know, they're bringing down prices for the next generation of components.
Yeah, maybe
which
that's why
great.
iPod came down $100 per.
Yeah, yeah. And for those of us that want to find other, you know, it's going to bring down the price of everything, really. It is, because this is such a product that's so pervasive. Everyone has this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And when you're selling that many millions of units, it makes everything else in the world cheaper because the little bits are used everywhere else too.
Something that I heard through the grapevine, and it could be a rumor, I'm not sure, but I heard that the record labels, because they were struggling to build, you know, an iTunes. So they had to go to each of the record labels in order to get sort of the licensing.
Microsoft was struggling to build
Microsoft.
It.
Because the only way to make their product work was to have a download store.
Why not just make their product work with iTunes?
iTunes won't allow it.
Oh, they won't. It's not an open kind of thing where anyone...
There's only one MP3 player that works with iTunes.
Really? Your Zen. You can't download from iTunes onto your Zen.
I think you can connect the Zen to your computer. And you can add the MP3 files to the Zen, but you can't use iTunes to manage the files.
So you have to use the Zen application, whatever that is.
Or something.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
I don't know. I mean,
it's a tangled web.
It is. And like they've got this thing. The thing that's sort of interesting is it's got Wi-Fi in it. So if you have one and I have one, then I can share a song with you.
Mm-hmm.
But
wicked.
But you can
wait.
You can only share songs that are bought off the Microsoft website, one.
Oh, here comes the rub.
Two, you can only listen to it like three times if you're the borrower.
Me.
Yeah.
This is going to be death.
But there's an automatic link to buying the whole album from the dead song once you've listened to it. Oh, yeah, and a partial listen counts as a whole play.
you've read the small print, Mitch.
Oh man, I'm interested.
Dude, this is fascinating because they're funneling people to their credit cards so actively. And that's got to cause a knee-jerk reaction because it's not easy to buy something. It still isn't easy to buy something. It takes a little effort.
Yeah.
And I think that's more effort than anyone really wants to make.
Yeah.
So wait a second. If I have my entire CD library on my computer, I can upload it onto this new device and then I can listen to the whole thing no problem. But well, I can't share it with anyone else.
Well, technically that's illegal. Technically, you're not even allowed to upload songs onto your MP3 player.
Really? If you already own them on CD?
According to copyright law.
If you bought them.
You're converting it to a different format.
Really?
You're copy. You're making a copy. You're not allowed to make a copy.
Man, you know what?
There's something seriously wrong with the law.
The truth.
If I'm breaking the law every time every time I upload one of my CDs that I've bought onto my MP3 player.
Hmm.
I'm breaking the law.
Okay. Here's a question to you, Mitch. Would there not be a real powerful angle in having a lobbying organization that is funded by the people for this very kind of thing? Because clearly all the music industry has a lot, like their lobby in politics to keep copyright law on their side for music, right?
Yeah, I mean, the artists deserve their cut.
Of course they do. But it should not be legal for me to change my CDs to MP3s to listen to them on my MP3 player. Yeah. Am I wrong? No, it shouldn't.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling that if you were to start an organization that was lobbying for music for the people, it would get a significant amount of donation and have a very large voice to go up against in competition with the lobbying.
Well, I guess in some countries, like in France and in Germany, like you are allowed to make a copy for personal use.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to make like a single copy or something like that.
Yeah.
You're just not allowed to distribute it.
Right.
But their CDs, they have a percentage from all their CDs that go, that's extra, that go to pay for that right. It's like that. It's really complicated. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
you gotta feed the monkey somehow.
It's like a tax that the labels get, or that I can't remember if it's the labels or the, could be the artist union, you know what? Mm-hmm. I can't remember what that union is called. Like
that'd be an interesting, all I'm saying is it'd be interesting to see the power structure shifted a little bit, or at least shooken up a little bit by having a people's organization, because clearly the people have a freaking serious opinion about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone is, you know, a little bit upset about how they're being manipulated by commercial industries.
Well, I don't think they really care. I think they're just doing what they want. I mean, don't you put music on your iPod?
Yeah, of course you do.
And is anybody going to arrest you?
No, of course they're not. But the thing I'm also saying here is that that group, once established, can do all sorts of things. I mean, it just takes it being established and winning a certain small number of battles.
A consumer group?
Yeah, exactly. A consumer group, a consumer lobbying organization specifically related to music. Because the music industry is massive.
Right.
Absolutely massive. And I think there you probably have a better opportunity there than you would with video, for example. And so I think you could win some serious battleground there for just little things starting first. But then eventually with just sharing, because it's in a way it's kind of parallel to like the drug battle. You know, what's the difference between like possession for personal use and possession with intention to distribute?
Right.
You know, what is distribution? If I'm showing it to a friend who's on the bus next to me and he's going to be there for 4 minutes, enough to hear one song but not to take it away with him, is that distribution? Like, because they keep talking about the next stage of the iPod being an iPod that you can tune in to other people's iPods to hear what they're listening to. Uh-huh. Is that distribution?
That would be pretty cool.
It would be freaking great, but it sounds this thing with Wi-Fi is almost letting you do that, but of course.
Yeah. I mean, the ideal would be, that... Like, have you ever used Rhapsody? I guess you wouldn't because you're on a Mac.
No.
But on the PC, you can use this software. It's called Rhapsody. And it's like $10.99 a month or something. And it's basically a utility. You just have access to all the music you want, mm-hmm. and you can stream it from Rhapsody. You just can't put it. You on just your can't hard drive. Keep it.
Yeah, yeah.
But who cares about keeping it?
Yeah, yeah. It's like post-it
notes. If you always have access to it, then it doesn't matter where it is.
Yeah. So what is distribution at that point?
Yeah. And I think that's the end goal. That's the audiophile's wet dream, mm-hmm. is to always have everything available.
Yeah, yeah. Without ever owning it.
But
how does Rhapsody make any money? Just out of curiosity.
Well, it's a subscription.
Oh, it is.
So they get money from people. They have DRM. So DRM is
DR what?
DRM is the.
How do you spell that?
Oh, come on! You know what that is. It's
no,
like
I don't have a clue.
It means that they've encoded the file so that you can't take it.
Oh, okay, and no one can crack that, can they?
Well,
no one cares to.
No, not enough to cost anything.
Hmm.
So they basically said no one's actually getting these files. We're streaming it. It's radio.
Yeah.
And we're happening to get $10 a month for radio listeners.
And then do they pay back to the labels for it?
Not to the labels, but to the RIAA and these other associations, these other artist associations, recording artist associations.
Wicked. You're so, right. That is the ultimate goal. But what's Microsoft doing? They're derailing it. They're derailing it back to the old lumbering dinosaur of the music industry, which is buying albums and buying songs.
What else is interesting, though, is because they are the underdog, they have to come in order to beat Apple. They have to come up with a way to get to license all that music. And when Apple did all the licensing, no one cared because they thought it was going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't fail. So now Apple's sitting on a great licensing deal.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft is trying to figure out how to do the same licensing, but they don't have the same footing as Apple did. So they've got to bend over and mm-hmm. take whatever the record labels are giving them, which is $1 per player. So the record labels are saying, you can have our music, but you got to give us $1 per player.
And right now,
which doesn't sound like a lot, but it kind of is.
Well, yeah, a few million players, but
because if you think about what a record label makes on a CD, which is not even 10%,
mm-hmm.
the margins on records are pretty thin,
because mm-hmm.
the retailers, well, yeah, because or at least not actually not what the record labels make, but what a retailer makes,
mm-hmm.
but. Anyways, it's pretty interesting. It's a slight change. It's what's happening is that the record labels are no longer saying we only own the music. They're also saying we own distribution.
Yeah, yeah.
We're a publisher.
Yeah.
Now we're not just a rights holder.
Right, and the media, the player itself is the distribution outlet. In a way, it's the distributor.
Yeah.
So they want a piece of that.
Yeah, and they might be
with Wi-Fi enabled.
But that might be illegal. What they're, you know.
Yeah,
I think it potentially is illegal for them to say that they get a share of the pie for a distribution mechanism.
Hmm.
I don't know. It depends on how. That's just a business decision. It's not like a. I don't know.
It's a freaking beautiful soap opera.
Yeah,
I love it. Love it. Next thing you know, Bill Gates is gonna have. Brain tumor, and he'll be sleeping with his sister in a near-death accident, and the whole thing will just spiral inward.
Maybe we should listen to some music and forget about the biz.
What do we got? What are you thinking?
Acetone?
Yeah. You keep calling it acetone.
Acetone for the painfully alone? Can
you say this song's so beautiful. Get cuddle up next to your girlfriend, everybody.
You wanna make out, baby?
Where's my beer?
cool.
Don't ever let go of me, Mitch.
Mm. Okay.
That was acetone.
Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, man. I thought for sure that was a cover when I first heard it, because it's so good. It just hits the spot.
I don't recognize it.
I mean, it just seems familiar, you know. But everyone out there, Sheboygan, if you know where it's from.
Did you see that comment about them cracking up last time you? Last time you gave the Sheb crew.
We rocked the world.
Did we get any comments on our last
out there in Shebtown? In Sheecash?
We're about to. I'm still like just a little bit behind. Got to release 52. I'm just about to do show 52.
Yeah. So that was acetone. No, wait. What am I saying? That wasn't acetone. Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was acetone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not confused.
Don't hurt yourself.
Acetone, straight out of Los Angeles, out of Locash.
It's okay, Dan.
Yeah.
Careful.
Dude, I'm into him.
So, if you remember, show 51, God, I got it. We got to get catch up because doing this like two shows ago thing is stupid.
We're getting ahead of the curve.
But, Cougar says, hey, because you remember 51 was about, I dedicated it to my friend whose father passed away, and then also some of the songs from show 50 were dedicated to Alex Cougar.
Yeah, Cougar's buddy.
And he says, hey, Notes Underground, I'll be writing a longer response soon, but I wanted to let you know right away how much I appreciate what you said during the show. It means a lot.
Hey, no worries, Cougar.
Love you guys. Stay safe.
No worries, Big Cat.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. I hope you're all right. And, you know, again, like, kind of, at least for me, I can't speak for Dan, but this show has always been about, like, connecting sort of people with music and not just sort of, I never wanted it to be a broadcast kind of thing, which is kind of
like a sit-down radio talk show kind of thing.
Yeah, like, when I found out about, when I found out about podcasting and stuff, I thought it was cool because it gave the user the opportunity to kind of to sit down and listen to it when they were prepared, you know, kind of like TiVo or whatever, and like to sort of take the time when the time was right, and then it was sort of combined with this whole blogging thing.
Yeah.
So it was sort of like there was sort of some interaction there. I don't know. I think that if any of you guys were capable of sending audio responses, that we would totally be into.
That would be sweet to be able to play
those on the show. Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Yeah, I think you can actually, if you Skype in, you can just leave a recording.
Yeah, so yeah. Skype, can you pull those and bring them onto the show?
Yeah, totally.
Fucking A.
Yeah, that's how.
Sheboygan.
Yeah.
Show us your accent.
So that would be really cool if we could start getting that going. I definitely want to get you guys more involved in sort of communicating with one another through the show, so we can try and get it to be not just me and Dan talking, but all you guys.
I think that'd be brilliant.
Recommending bands, say, this is my band of the week, or this is like, you know.
Yeah, let's hear 1,000 little voices out there.
Band recommendations would be ideal, but anything else you feel like talking about would be great. And on that note, we also have, here's another comment from somebody. His name's Sean. He says, I've been listening to your show since episode 24 and interview number 2.
Whoa.
I've been planning on creating a podcast of my own, a bit like yours. I have a question about it, though. If a band offers up an MP3 for free download on the web, is it legal for me to play it on my podcast? I love your show and will continue to listen as long as you continue to produce. You've turned me on to so many great things. Keep it up, Sean.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? That's the point of PodSafe Music, isn't it?
I mean, I don't think that there's I don't think that there's like consensus on this, you know, in terms of playing music. I think that technically you're supposed to have a distribution license.
Really?
But
we don't have the necessary papers, do we?
Not exactly. No. And if they shut me down, then that's the sacrifice.
Keep it on the down low, everybody. Yeah.
But if I guess the my whole philosophy has been, if the bands are giving the songs away for free, then they're not going to come after you.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the RIAA will come after you. I'm not really sure. You know, so far I've been doing okay. I think I'm past year one, maybe.
Yeah. Well, you're not, you never really made it until someone sued you, have you?
Yeah. I mean, that could actually happen.
I can't imagine
someone would sue me. I'm not making any money. I don't have ads
exactly.
on my site.
What are they going to gain from it?
You know?
Yeah.
I can't imagine
why. They might get a couple mics and, you know, a Mac laptop out of it.
Yeah.
But not that we're saying that. Yeah.
In any case, I think it's a risk and I think you should take it.
I agree wholeheartedly. Chin chin.
Yeah. Don't worry so much about stuff because
just do it.
Life's too short.
That child abuse.
So that's my advice, Sean. Anyways, we got two more songs to play and then we're out. So here's a remix from an Infidels track. I actually like the album version more, but this was the only free one. So this is what we got to play.
C'est la vie.
All right, here we go. Love Like Semtex by the Infidels.
Love like Semtex, bring it to me, bring it to me, where I can't see.
I love how they tore it down and then built it up and then just broke it loose like a stallion in a field.
Didn't you make get you excited? Didn't you want to like
check the look? Can you see the goosebumps? Can you see the goosebumps from over there? They're like speed bumps on the freeway.
I think Eddie Van Halen plays keyboards on that.
he certainly plays inspiration.
Okay, so
Rademacher, eh?
Yeah, we should have played it, even though we've already played them.
No, wait. I'm sorry. I thought that was the band we just played.
You thought that was Rademacher?
No, of course not. Rademacher's 100% different. They're from Fresno. No one in Fresno would produce that. Who is that again?
Infidels.
Yeah. Thank you.
You ever been to Fresno?
Yeah, I've been to Fresno.
It's cool.
It's beautiful.
I went to a wedding in Fresno once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was that in the summer in Fresno? Because I'm curious.
That was my first experience with cocaine.
In Fresno?
Yeah.
Awesome. You know, because Fresno has that big city high fashion vibe to it, doesn't it?
Not that I'm advocating the use of such illicit substances.
Why not? Good enough for Freud. It's good enough for Mitch. Yeah.
Not really.
So what kind of wedding was this? It sounds like a party to me.
It was. I got busy on the dance floor.
And then you tipped a buttload of cows.
And then, you know... Yeah, I mean, it was stupid. It was like 30 of us in like three hotel rooms. Yeah.
But also, it was a college.
It was like a buddy of ours who was in college from Fresno, got married, sophomore year in college.
In college, yeah, wow.
You know, like,
wow.
What are you doing getting married?
I
love her, man.
No, I'm not. Of course, his love is true. I'm sure, but
no. But it was so young.
No kidding, dude. Was he religious?
No.
I just have to. No, not at all. No,
just you just know. When
he
you
knows
know. When
he
you know. You know.
You gotta admire the man. You really do. How can you not admire the man? I mean, if he knows, he knows. Fucking go with it.
When you know, you know.
Exactly.
You know.
You gotta admire a person who has such great convictions. So,
anyways,
y'all are still in touch.
Me and the groom?
Yeah.
No.
Not so much?
No.
Do you know, are they still hanging tough?
I have no idea.
No idea.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
It was sort of like, I got invited because all of our mutual friends got invited, not because he genuinely liked me. That happens, though.
But then once he saw you on the dance floor, he genuinely liked you.
Yeah, exactly.
Renega's told me on the side before.
That was actually a sketchy crowd that I don't really hang out with anymore.
So. Yeah. The Fresno cocaine crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're all best buddies that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done, dude. That's something I would have liked to have seen.
Yeah.
Now, Renega's told me on the side before that you're a great invite at a wedding. And when the dance floor is cold, you heat it up.
I like to get my groove on. Yeah. I mean, who, like, you know, like Brick House? I mean, you can you cannot not boogie when someone plays Brick House. It just starts moving and you can't stop.
Yeah, the toe then, starts tapping, then the whole leg, and then the booty starts
and
shaking.
Next thing
and you're
you know, you're doing the worm.
Yeah. Oh, shit. You didn't.
I do. Anyways, Mitch, I think it's
about
time.
You need a trophy.
We need a trap.
Just a general trophy for living.
Just for a trophy for living.
A trophy for living. Trophy for life. So where's that put us, man?
Thanks, Dan.
No worries.
Anchors for Architects is our last track of that. Oh, but we didn't address the Rademacher issue.
Oh,
we'll play you guys next show.
Yeah, without a doubt.
It's about time we start doing repeats every once
in
a while
because
for the good
bands. We do fly through
because
we did do
one of our favorite bands last. We did do a replay of another band last time.
Was it Beta Band or something?
No? What was it? It was the Viva Voce.
Oh yeah.
And not to mention it was the same band. It was like the same song. That was so lame. If you're gonna play play the same band, you might as well play a different song.
Well, luckily, so,
Rademacher's got some new material.
Yeah, they have some new material out, and it's awesome. I stumbled across them only after listening to the song that I heard did I realize that you had played them ages ago, and I think like episode 20-something. And
that's pretty rad.
Yeah, and man, they're just awesome. They're epic for Fresno.
And I hear they're tied into the ship now.
This is what they just wrote in.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
And you were just telling me about the ship. I didn't know what the ship was, but apparently the ship is an awesome
musical
Sun
collective. The
Silver Sun
Pickups collective. Isn't that weird that the Silver Sun Pickups aren't enormous by now?
It is.
Because I think they're a great band.
You just got to wait. You know, it's so much about time and place, isn't it?
And what about Monsters Are Waiting? They're a great band, and they're not huge yet.
Maybe you need to start the label.
I mean, I thought I was getting in on the early side, you know?
You do. The show has had, you know, has like tapped the shoulder of several bands that have gotten quite big later.
Yeah. Hey.
There's no reason
what are
to
you
believe.
Doing?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey. But there's no reason to believe that these guys aren't, and I think that they are. But it is funny. I mean, it's so much about time and place. And the time and it's out of most people's control. I think it's out of any band's control, really.
But it makes me think, because I feel like I'm more tapped into like bands that aren't on the radio now than I ever have been in my life. And I'm like 31 years old. Mm. And like, I'm thinking about like 2 years ago, 3 years ago when, or more, you know, 10 years ago, you know, when it was like, when Nirvana was huge, you know, like what was going on then that I just didn't know about, that I was missing out, or 20 years ago, like when, you know, Joy Division was at its peak, you know, who was I missing out on because it just wasn't being
wrapped up into the mainstream. You think of these great genres, like around Elvis's time or in the 60s or something, like, you know, when the Doors were huge. And you got to wonder, who were the awesome, awesome
that
underground
nobody
bands
knew about? Yeah,
but did that even exist? I mean, I thought for a while that Love
maybe
was
they weren't recording,
bands,
but they were probably playing.
Yeah, probably. You know? Probably. When I first moved to London, I was looking for a flat, and I was going around London with like a friend of mine and my girlfriend at the time. And we went to this one flat, and we went up there, and it was a tutor that was at the RCA, the college I went to. And we went into his room, and he was going to sublet his room to me for the next like 6 months. He was offering to. And we walk into his room, and the walls were covered in shelves full of LPs. Uh-huh. I mean, covered. He must have had about 3,000 LPs in the room.
Yeah.
It was insane. It was beautiful. Small room. And I
did
said,
did he encourage you to like look through them?
Well, I said, what are these? And he goes, it's mostly 70s disco, but it's not the shit. And I'm like
the shit in the good way?
Yeah, no, he said, it's not the shit, like the shit that was like popular. It was, I figured what he was inferring. And I was like, was there that much good 70s disco that wasn't the popular stuff? And I was shocked. That was kind of the first time where I was thinking, was there a whole underground 70s disco scene that was
good? It was actually good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like club music, you know, where there is some good DJ, like, you know, like hard, like
exactly.
Grimy, like
and clearly
stuff.
This guy really had a refined taste, or so he thought,
that's so
about
funny.
70s
on disco.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Blew my mind.
I never know.
Because that's got to be one of the most stereotyped genres of music in the world.
Yeah, totally.
And he thought he had his finger on the good stuff.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Anywho.
Well, let's check out one more band and then kiss everyone goodnight.
Anchors for Architects, ladies and gentlemen. Mwah.
Sleep tight.